for a couple of weeks now, you know, sometimes you just get a stirring in your own spirit about a certain, I don't know, maybe a scripture. You're reading through the Bible and you come upon something and you read it and you close the Bible and the next day, though you closed your Bible the night before, the next day, that thing is still, it's still like, it's like something's going on. And a few weeks ago, I guess, I don't know where it was, but anyway, anyhow, I just felt the Lord speaking to me about his mercy, about his mercies. And, you know, I'm sure you have experiences like this where you'll be driving down the street. For me, I'm at work, minding my business, and I'm driving from one job to the next. And all of a sudden, a thought will hit me about how good God is. It's just his mercy. And it's as if he came into the van and just sat down. And then the tears start streaming down. And now here you getting all ugly. Jesus, I love you. Oh, my God, I love you. And you just, you're falling apart. And you just like, I didn't do anything. Is this nothing? I didn't do anything. He says, no, it's because it was never about you doing anything. And he could make sure I understand. No, it's never been about you doing anything. It's all been all about me. It's what I'm doing, son. And so when he causes you to realize the depths of his mercy, it's overwhelming. And so I've been wanting to put together a series about the mercy of God, and then I read one word about grace, and then I go over in the grace of God, then I want to go to grace. But let me share this simply titled The Mercy of God. I'm going to be speaking for the next few weeks about his mercies, and the thing about it is that whenever you come to know something about God, be sure of this, that what you know is about that much, okay? And yet that much will overwhelm you. It will literally overwhelm you. And you think you know so much until you walk with him a few years later, and then you find that which he was sharing with you is so deep. And you go a little deeper, and it messes you up in a beautiful way all over again. It just touches you so deeply. And this is what I find in the case of the mercy of God. And in my case, being 50 plus now, when I look back on the 20s, and I'm talking to my father, I said, Father, but I thought I knew something back then. He's like, yeah. Compared to what I know now, it seems like when I was in my 20s, I didn't know anything. He said, yeah, wait till you get to 70. He said, wait till you get to 70. I don't know how you're counting the passage of time here, but I'm not counting by years. I'm done with that. Oh, Lord, I'm done with that. That's how a man counts it. I just want to know. My Lord, Peter said this, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior. Grow in grace. He didn't say count the years. Oh, I'm turning 50. It's over now. Over the hill. You're going down, son. No. No. He said, grow in grace and in knowledge of your Lord and Savior. So let me start. Let me read. I'm going to do this in a different order than I originally planned it. But in the Old Testament, let me pray first. Father, I thank you now for the time that we had in your presence. And I thank you that that time really never ends. And that we can enter it again, should we so choose, just to, oh, Lord, to be with you. My God, just to rest with you, to lay down our heavy burdens and simply to know you and to be your, to hear your voice, my God. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we look at any part of your word today. Holy Spirit, I thank you for life that infuses your children. I thank you for the goodness and the mercy that follows us all the days of our lives. Thank you for your presence, your nearness, your truth and your love toward us, Father. May we hear you. May we see you in your word, in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia describes the word chesed, which is the Hebrew word for mercy or kindness, what translates the word for mercy as chesed is kindness, loving kindness. It was Graham Cook, who was a prophet, I believe over in Europe somewhere, I forget where it is, in England. It was Graham Cook who said years ago, I remember watching a tape of his, and he said, or listening to a tape, he said this, God is the kindest person I have ever met. He is so kind. He's merciful, okay? And the limits or the extent to which he will go to show you his kindness. Some people would say, oh, God would never do that. And yet, David said, show me a token. Our sister Jessica just shared with us would be in order to say that was God's kindness that has, you know, provided for them all these years. And you know, God just doesn't provide. And my sister Diane is so good for bringing up these very little minute things to you and I, but to the person that God does it for or to, it's huge. You know, David would often say to God, show me a sign, give me a token of your goodness, show me a sign, God. And God would do things to cause him to know how much I love you, David. It was God's kindness. There's another word, rakamim, which means the bowels or the sympathetic region. Hanan, to be inclined to be gracious, also frequently translated mercy in the Old Testament. And so as we will see in the Old Testament, what we see is that God is the one who's responsible for telling us about himself. No one else can tell us about God but God himself, right? And so the first mention of mercy in the scripture is one that I believe I've covered this year already. It's in Genesis chapter 19, and that's the chapter where God is sending two angels to destroy Sodom. And if you'll remember, Abraham, the Lord comes with the two angels and he meets with Abraham. And he says to the angels, shall we declare unto Abraham what we are about to do? And Abraham, as you know, he intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah, in particular because his cousin Lot was there. And Abraham goes from 50 down to 10. Lord, if there were 10 righteous, would you spare the city? We'll see that God's mercy will extend far beyond past what Abraham asked. Because if you remember the story, God did spare one city. And he spared it because one person asked, would you spare it? And some people, when you read the story, they say, Abraham stopped at 10 and God stopped. No, no, no. When you consider Zoar, when the angels brought them out of the city and said, flee for your life. And Lot says, no, unless some evil overtake us and we be killed. He said, there's a little city here, Zoar. Can we run there? Can you? And they said, we have listened to you on this thing. We won't destroy it. Flee there. Why did God do that? I'll tell you why he did it. Because God is merciful. He is merciful, beloved. Beyond our ability really to comprehend his mercies. All right. So let me read this. Genesis 19, So in verse 12, it says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. Genesis 19, verse 13. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot, now remember that the angels came to Lot in the evening. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. You ever had that when you share the gospel with people? They look at you like, for real? You know? When the morning dawned, so they came to him in the evening, when the morning dawned, so if they came at 6 in the evening or 8 in the evening, morning is, the dawning of the next day is 6 a.m., 5 a.m., sun's coming up. So the angels have stayed there all night. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry. Right. And so, in other words, Lot, you have a part to play in your own salvation. We're coming to get you out of the city, but you need to take some responsibility here. Hurry up. And they said, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. Now, some people say, did Lot know that they were angels? Well, I don't know if Lot knew they were angels. But any two brothers come into my house, snatch me out from a mob, and strike everybody with blindness, I kind of get the feeling that maybe something's unique about you guys, right? But Lot, for some odd reason, he's not getting it. I mean, these angels been with him all night. They deliver him from the mob. The mobs, you know, they're not breaking down the door, which they could have if they had eyesight, and, you know, but a mist of darkness fell upon them. And the angels tell Lot, leave. Your wife, your daughters, get them, leave. Now, that seems pretty simple, right? Pretty straightforward to you and I. What 16 says does not make sense. And while he lingered, I thought to myself, Lord Jesus, there's a whole message right by itself. Anybody lingering around some place where God told you to leave? Oh, hey, wait a second. That came to me first. I'm not preaching to you. I got to look into my life. So where are you hanging out where God has already said, leave it alone? Ah, maybe that word. Maybe I got that word. Who shared that? Maybe. Hey, maybe that word. This may be it, because I'm telling you. Oh, hallelujah. This may be it, because he said to me, because when you preach the word, listen, you know who you preach it to first. You always get it first. So don't ever think, at least I hope no preacher thinks that he's preaching to, because it has to come here first. You understand? And so I thought to myself, where, son, are you lingering where God has said, get the move on? Get out of there. Right? And so I had to let that word process. I had to let that thing fill my being, and spiritually, you know, I'm taking notes and I'm saying, wow, son, have a part in your own salvation. If God says so, and he did hear. But now watch this. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand. I said, wait a second, Lord. Wait a second. So Lot is not obeying. He's not getting out. He's not doing what you asked him to do. He said, yeah, sound familiar? I said, I don't know, but Holy Ghost talked to me that way. He just be bringing it straight. He said, look around. You know, because that's, he's saving his church. But come on, is the church perfect? The church doing everything he said, dude? No way. Hmm? The men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. And here's the word that just took me over. The Lord being merciful to him. The Lord being merciful to him. And I thought to myself, well, Lord, Lot didn't ask for that mercy. No, because Lot doesn't know me. He doesn't know the depths of who I am. He couldn't ask for the mercy. There's no unsaved person out there running around saying, have mercy on me, Lord. There's no one out there crying for mercy. Mercy finds its origin in God. The mercy that Lot received found its origin in God. Lot was supposed, should have had a part to play in his own salvation, but he wouldn't, or in some fashion, he couldn't. And so God went and did for Lot what Lot couldn't or wouldn't do for himself. Does that describe some sinners today? Let me tell you, there's some folk, they know what God says, but they still won't. But God's mercy. See, you and I, see, you know, I tell you what, God's mercy is, it's a wonderful thing, but it also will reveal things about you and I. Everything about God reveals something about you and I. Why? Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. But when you come into the presence of that light, it's going to shine on you. And any darkness that you have, it's going to reveal. And so when God has mercy on some person that you think ought not to have had mercy, then you begin to find out what's on the inside of you. So I found myself praying for Lamar Odom, if any of you keep up with the news, about this ex-basketball player, ex-Kardashian, man who was in a brothel had doing what no business doing. Everything about what he was doing was just sinful, wrong, and all of that. And by all accounts should have been dead. And, because God has been dealing with me about his mercy, I'm cleaning carpet and all I'm praying, Lord, have mercy. I know people throw that thing around like, Lord, have mercy. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, he need to have mercy on those who say that because they don't know anything but mercy to God. No, Lord, have mercy. And because this man, because see, we know what he's trying to do. He's trying to suck life out of a dead thing. That's what all sinners do. They go to people. They go to money, things, whatever, and they try and extract what ain't in there. There's no life in that woman or that man or that money or the Powerball or you name it. There's no life there. There's no life in cocaine, heroin, all that. There's no life there. We know that. And so, you know, I'm praying, Lord, have mercy. I come up on my second stop on Friday. And the moment I got to talking with this woman, you know, a lot of my customers are women and women like to talk. So I just have to, you know, Jesus, you just help me. And so. When she opened up the door, this is my ex-husband's place. I don't care. Just come in, clean the carpet. I said, okay. And I said to myself, Jesus, she in a bad way. She's in a bad way. Help. And I just said, Lord, have mercy. And she started giving me all the details. And I was like, I'm sorry. Well, he divorced. What did she say? He left me and all of this. And she's mad. She's angry. I can see it, you know. And I'm praying, Father, have mercy upon this girl. Because this thing's going to eat at her if she doesn't forgive, if she doesn't get out of this. And I just began to pray. So we see in this passage of Scripture, the Lord being merciful to Lot, was by God's own initiative. The Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. Lot was in such a state that he couldn't get himself out of harm's way, even though he knew harm was coming. He was in such a state, such a condition, that he couldn't. Now, Lamar Odom, all the other people, listen. When Michael Jackson OD'd and killed himself, when he did what he did, do you know how many other people who are doing the exact same thing? And do you know what gets them? Amy Winehouse did on drugs and alcohol, whatever. There's other people doing the same thing. And you know what comes to them? Says, that won't happen to you. That lie comes in and says, that won't happen to you. But sure enough, not too long after that, someone else, well, Whitney, you know, Whitney, you just, alcohol, cooking, you're doing the same thing. It's almost like, now, you know it will kill you. It's like Lot. You know that harm is coming, but you can't get yourself out of the way. And God had to have mercy on Lot to get him out of the way. So verse 18 says, then Lot said to him, please, no, my lords. They said, so it came to pass that when they had brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life. The angel said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, please, no, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. So at this point, Lot recognizes the mercy. He recognizes the mercy. Okay. Now it's 3:44 and I have just gotten started. And so I am just going to end. But let me end it with a story. And this is one of those ones that, it won't mean a great deal to you. But to this boy right here, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, Lord Jesus. I shared this at prayer. It's about, my wife probably knows now what I'm going to share, but our God is a miracle working God. I've been cleaning rugs for 26 years. And I've seen God do some mighty, mighty things. One time, someone brought a rug to me with a big red stain on it. When I first started cleaning rugs, or a few years after, and I treated the rug with this chemical, and it is a wool rug, and it turned the rug green. Okay, that's problematic because the rug was beige. Okay, and so I treated it, and it's green now. I was majoring in chemistry at Nova, but I dropped out. Because I wasn't saved, and I didn't know what school was about. And I'm like, this ain't making sense. I don't know why I'm in school. So I got saved shortly thereafter. Anyhow, so I'm looking at this rug, and I'm saying, Jesus, Lord, I don't know. I just don't know what happened. And so I went out and did something else. You know, you leave a problem alone. Just leave it alone and come back to it. But leave it alone. Yeah. And so I let some air get in my brain and so forth. And I came back later and it's something on the inside, you know, like an unction. Said, put DI on it, put this on it and go home. And so that's what I did. I put this chemical on it. I put that chemical on it. It looked just the same. It looked but the word was, put it on it and go home. So I shut out the lights. I went home. Went to bed. Everything. All my employees were laughing at me because they were like, Pat, you messed up that rug, man. You could have to buy that thing. And they were right. I mean, it's messed up. And I came back the next morning, walked through the door. Oh, Lord. And I about broke out into a dance. I said, what? I said, Jesus, I thank you. Now, that was in 97, something like that. But a few weeks ago, I had something happen. And the only thing I could, the only thing I know is said, only thing I said was, Lord, your mercies are beyond me, are beyond me. So let me try to make this short. I go to a lady's house, been doing it for years up in McLean, high dollar area. And I clean the carpet, I do everything, and the mother of the lady who owns the house says that we have this needlepoint rug, we need it cleaned. Now, I cleaned one of these needlepoint rugs a few months ago, and when I sprayed the solution on it, the rug, which was a rectangle, shrunk into a parallelogram. Okay? This rug literally metamorphosized. It just went like that, and I went, oh, God. And it was a rug, this, so it was small and everything. Real, you know, customer been doing it for years. Took the rug back. She's looking at the rug. She's like, ooh. She's like, and she said, this isn't good. I said, no, ma'am. I says, but we'll replace it. You know, we'll make good. She says, no, she said, don't worry about it, Pat. Just, you know, clean my carpet next time, clean it for free, and don't worry about it. That's fine. I said, okay, thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Okay, so that gives you some context. This woman who said we need this rug cleaned, the rug was 10 feet long by 8 feet wide. I got online after something happened to the rug, and I priced it. The first price came up $3,000. Second price came up $6,000. So I'm looking at this rug, and I'm thinking, anyhow. So I tested the rug. I tested the rug, went through my protocols. I tested it. It didn't shrink. Tested the biggest one. It didn't shrink. I did all that. And I said, okay, Lord, because on the inside, this is what's going on. Now, you know you shrank that other rug. It's a needlepoint rug just like this. You better not shrink this rug. You understand? You test it. You double test it. You triple test it. You test this thing. Don't you shrink this rug. That's what's going on inside of me. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to do. And so I told the woman, I said, ma'am, now, I tested it here. It's not shrinking. I'm going to take it back to my shop. I'm going to test it there. If it shrinks, I'm going to bring it back. I'm not going to clean it. You understand? She said, no problem. She says, but if you do shrink it, what will do? I said, I'll replace it. Now, when the words come out of your mouth, be like God, right? What he says, he will do. Okay? So the words already came out of my mouth. When I rolled the rug up, looked at the, I made sure the rug was square. The rug was, it was a rectangle. I looked at the rug, I rolled it up, looked at the pad. The pad was a rectangle. I said, okay. I was going to snap a picture of it, but you know, this is square. So I get the rug to my office. Laid it out. I tested it. No shrinkage. I tested it over here. No shrinkage. I tested it on this side. No shrinkage. I said, okay, here we go. I spray it down and I clean it. I extract it. I hang it up and I jump on a plane to Utah for a training session. This was just last month. I jumped on a plane, flew to Utah, did my training, came back, pulled the rug off of my thing, off of the hanging rack. And when it hit the floor, it was a parallelogram. And I said, I went home. I said, honey, I done ruined this woman's rug. Oh, Lord. I said, honey, this is the big one. Met me a friend, Sanford. I said, this is the big one. I said, honey, I did everything right. I did everything right. I don't know what happened. I said, oh, my God. So I take the rug. I roll it up. I look at it. I just kept looking at it. I said, Lord, it's a parallelogram now. This is bad. I roll it up, take it to the lady. She says to me on the way in the house, she said, how'd it clean up? I said, oh, or clean, because it did. It cleaned up fine. I said, oh, yes, ma'am. It cleaned up. You have to understand when God's teaching you something. I mean, he's taking you through it. And I'm sitting up there like, I said, every fiber of my being is saying, Jesus. How many think you a man? No, just a little boy. I was going, Jesus. Father, what do I do? I get it inside, walk through the door, and the pad on the floor was a parallelogram. The pad on the floor was a parallelogram. The pad that was before. And somebody said, I said to myself, Lord, am I crazy? Because I know, I checked it. It was a rectangle. It was
Y'all know what a parallelogram is?
Okay. I'm just checking. I walked through. The rug was a parallelogram. I mean, the padding was a parallelogram. And I said to myself, Jesus, is this what I think it is? So I rolled it out, put it that way. They said, oh, it looks great. Looks beautiful. I said, please, Jesus, please let this work. And I rolled it out, and it fit perfectly. A parallelogram. Now, well, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're saying. Pat, you just didn't notice that it was a parallelogram to start with. You're talking to a person who already shrank a rug and took it from a rectangle to a parallelogram. I looked at the pad. I looked at the rug. Both of them were rectangles when I started. But when I finished, that rug rolled out perfectly, covered that pad. And those people said, oh, you did a fabulous job. The mercy of God. Do you hear me? Now, from that day to this, I cannot explain. I have no explanation. All I know is, I said, Father, you too much. You are too, I cannot get my mind. I just don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. But I thank God for his mercy. Amen. Let's stand.